Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Find everything you need today?
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, God. No.
Everything okay, ma'am?
It's just that you've only scanned a few items and it's already $60. I'm so scared.
Okay, I'm a trained professional, ma'am. I've scanned a lot of groceries. I need you to stay with me.
It's just that my in-laws are in town and they want a charcuterie board. Well,
this isn't gonna be easy, so I need you to be brave, all right? What's your name?
Patricia.
Patricia, all right. I need you to take a deep breath. We're about to do the cheese.
Oh my God! The numbers are going up so fast! Why do we have to be a Balderson's house?
Don't look up there. It only makes it worse. Keep your eyes on me, okay?
Can't you just scan something less expensive?
I can, but let's not forget, it's the little things that add up, all right? Now brace yourself. I'm about to do the mixed nuts.
Oh my God, I'm gonna pass out!
Okay, bite down on this, Patricia. Get ready. I'm gonna do the cured meats.
Anymore.
It's too late. There's a line behind you, okay? You're locked in.
I'm not strong enough.
I know it looks like a lot right now, but I promise you, you're gonna get home and you're gonna wonder, what did I even buy? You've got this, Patricia. Get ready. I'm gonna weigh the grapes.
Oh, what have you done to me, you son
of a... Okay, your total's
$257.84. Oh, no!
You gotta dig deep. This is the hardest part. Patricia, it's time to pay.
You know, honestly, I just think Palpatine knew all along. And he let it happen just to justify going to Hoth.
Here we go.
No, I'm serious. What? Darth Vader happens to be in a TIE fighter when the whole thing goes down? Please. Come on. All right.
Now, here we go.
I read the engineering. Okay? There was no way one X-Wing could have taken this thing out.
Okay.
No way. It had to be a controlled demolition.
Connor, nobody wants to hear this.
You're blind. You are blind, sir. You're blind.
Whatever.
You're all a bunch of drones. Hey.
We're gonna win even if I have to go into the auditorium and personally jerk off every guy in the audience.
That's a lot of jerking. And we only have 10 minutes to present, so.
So? We're fucked, aren't we? Yeah, even if he's jerking two at a time, there are what, 800 guys in that room, so that's 400 times whatever the mean jerk time is?
The what?
Mean jerk time. I mean, it doesn't matter, but hypothetically, time is equal to 400 total jerks at a two-dick rate.
Unless Ehrlich jerks off four guys at a time, and then we can cut that in half.
How would he do four guys? He's got two hands, so that's two dicks at a time, right?
Look, you have two guys on either side with their dicks tip to tip, so you're going full length. Four, see?
Oh. From the middle out. That does make sense.
Like two shake weights.
Yeah. So what we're trying to do, hypothetically, is minimize time, which is 800 dudes multiplied by mean jerk time divided by four dicks at a time. Of course, Ehrlich would have to pre-sort guys by height so that their dicks lined up.
Not by height, technically. The measurement that we're looking for really is dick to floor. Call that D2F.
Huh. Oh my God.
You know, if a guy's dick was long enough, he would be able to reach up or down to another guy with a different D2F. The longer the dick, the greater the D2F bridge. I would still be able to jerk it off in one smooth motion.
You dirty bitch! Look what you've done to my peonies!
They're marigolds!
Good God, I think she's right. They are marigolds.
I may not know my flowers, but I know a bitch when I see one.
I have a joke for you.
What?
What is a skeleton's favorite snack?
I don't know.
Go on, guess.
Death?
No. Go on, guess.
No.
Come on, guess. Why are you laughing? I haven't told the punchline yet! What is a skeleton's favorite snack? Guess!
It would have been a lot of fresh.
Guess! Fuck! Guess! Guess, goddamn you! Why won't you answer me? What is my favorite snack?
Bones.
No! No!
Jesus,
what is it? Why must you fail me so often? Ribs! Spare ribs!
Are the Avengers liable for the damage done to New York when the Chitauri and Loki attacked? I think if any of them are liable, it would only kind of come from Thor's line.
I think no. Nobody's liable, because when Loki and the Chitauri attacked, they were doing pretty extensive damage. It was pretty indiscriminate. And I think if the Avengers hadn't stepped in and done something, more damage would have been done. I also am concerned that Thor and his family are probably not subject to the jurisdiction of the courts on Earth. So I'd be concerned about being able to recover anything, even if they were liable.
They caused that damage in the jurisdiction. They've made themselves subject to the jurisdiction. It all stems from Odin. He's the one that put the Tesseract here in the first place for no apparent reason.
When you say Thor and Thor's family, are you saying Thor and Loki?
Well, yeah, they're technically family, I suppose.
Actually, though, Loki is from Jotunheim because he's technically a frost giant that Odin took during a battle in Jotunheim.
I don't know the adoption procedures in Asgard. There's at least an argument that he's family. But I think it all still stems back from what Odin did. The only reason the Chitauri army can even get here is because Loki opens the portal with the Tesseract.
I do not have a rebuttal to that. That's a pretty good argument.
This is Father Wubby.
I need to confess a sin, Father. I worked at a grocery store in my teenage years. I won't get specific. There was this one girl. Are you familiar with the term gumping it?
Father Wubby is not familiar with the term gumping it.
So gumping it is when someone is not quite retarded, but they're like just on that line. So while it's an ethical conundrum, it's not fucking a retarded person if you were to sleep with them. This will come important later in the story. She worked in the bakery. And to cut to the chase, because I've already taken a minute of your time, Father.
You're good.
I fucked her ass in the freezer.
Somewhere, someone out there is thinking about you and the tremendous positive impact you have had on their life. And I just want you to know, it's not me, because I think you're a massive cunt.
Let me ask you something. When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. Shit, no, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
From Filthy Martini Studios in Ontario, California, it's the Boomer Show!
Hey, what is up, everyone? I am Joe C.
Thank
you so very much for listening to the Boo Bar Show, and a special thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate, review, and share the pod with your fellow Boos. Remember to follow, like, and comment on our Instagram at Foo Bar Show. That's FOO Bar Show, and we'll foo it up like a couple of foos. Ain't that right, Steph?
Yeah, yeah.
Steph, today's show is going to be a good one. You want to know why?
Why?
Because we're going to try to cover 2 months worth of highlights in one episode. Are you down?
I am so down.
Are you down like a clown in the ground, Charlie Brown?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Good. Now, where would you like to start?
Well, you've been through some major changes right now.
Yeah.
Musically.
Yeah, we kind of touched on it in the last episode when we had Anthony on, which was... That was a fun episode, I gotta say, by the way.
It was nice, yeah.
And we even saw him live last night at the Ontario Art Walk doing his thing, doing what he does,
mm-hmm.
You know, with his hippin' and the hoppin' and the bippin' and the boppin'.
He's got a lot of energy, that guy.
Yeah, dude.
I like it.
He's been practicing.
Mm-hmm.
Mode 7, man. Go check him out. So, we covered that. And also, just trying to direct some traffic over to our buddy Nelson's podcast, the Fun Never Ends podcast with Metalhead Nelson. And now he has a friend on there, Brutal Brett, as his co-host.
Tight.
Yeah, I was on his podcast recently, too, and we discussed why I'm no longer in the Fallen Electric, a band that I've been in, how long would you say? Six, seven years?
I was going to say at least 7 years.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that.
Right, because how long have we been married? It was before that.
Yeah, but wait, like 2 years before that?
Yeah
it's got to be like 7 years that I was in that rock band, and... Man, I put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into trying to get some shit going on that
And but
there were many, many nights where you would spend hours just syncing music to videos and making all these playlists, or I don't even know what you did.
Yeah. So, what do you want to know?
What happened?
Well,
I know what happened, but you know, for the listeners who don't know, give us like a brief overview.
I'll try to keep it brief, but and you know, I'll keep it simple. How's that? I can't promise that simple equates to brief. But let's see here. Where should I start? Okay. So some time ago, I'd say maybe a couple of Januaries ago.
It was a dark and stormy night.
Right.
How much time do you got?
No. So our ex-bassist shows up out of the blue. He comes and joins us. Now, keep in mind, he left the band, but because we pushed them out, sort of. And I was probably the one who championed that notion the most, because while he was the best bass player I've ever played with, he was one of the worst bandmates that I've ever had to deal with. Mm-hmm. And but you know, enough time has passed where it's been at least a month and a half since that happened. And you know, I thought nothing of it. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You know, he's here to be an audience at our rehearsal, and he's checking out the setup and all that good stuff. So I guess as soon as that happened, somebody was getting into Jimmy's ear, I think. And he came to the conclusion that I was trying to take over the band, which I kind of was, because he hadn't been doing shit.
Like how? Like, you're not trying to claim this band as your own.
No. I'm just incorporating more of my ideas in a lot of the more modern technology that would make us sound better live, look better live, attract more attention, actually put on a show where I'm trying to incorporate lights, visuals on TV screens. You know, things that you would normally see on a big stage, but right. You know, from our small stage perspective, you know, we're on stage with a click track in our in-ear monitors, shit like that, that really would make a band sound super, super tight.
Yes.
Things that are used by the professional bands out there.
So you're not making this stuff up.
No.
Yeah,
we're incorporating and getting us ready for what would be the next step, you know, in hopes that we would generate enough interest where we would finally find ourselves there on a larger stage.
Right.
In a more professional setting. Charles was working on a light show as well, you know, syncing everything up so that the music goes with the lights that are going on. There was the next rehearsal. He sits us down, which is kind of shitty because, you know, he could have just told us don't set up, but we had already set up for rehearsal.
Oh, so
connected
he wanted
all of our instruments and everything, and our amplifiers and the sound system. And then he's just like, ah, you guys, you know what? I want to talk. I was like, oh, all right, I'm all down for that, but a little heads up would have been nice because we just finished setting up.
Right, it took us an hour to do this.
Nah, it doesn't take us an hour, but we still, you know, could have avoided that. Anyway,
okay.
That's just me being petty at this point. But sits us down and you know, essentially he's just like, I'm not having fun anymore. And I was like, well, shit, why? He's like, well, amongst a few things, the three major things that were said was that he's not interested in playing with the in-ear monitors anymore, that we sound super robotic, or to him, you know, we're not a real band, which is ridiculous.
Okay,
because we're still playing the instruments and singing the vocals.
Let me stop you right there. At this point, how long have you been playing with the in-ear monitors?
A solid year and a half.
Okay, and he couldn't say that beforehand?
No. And so he then goes to say that my the songs, because I started writing songs and I started incorporating these songs in the set lists, and there was always a vibe that, you know, he didn't, that they weren't 100% welcome, but I'm going to push forward. You know, I want to play music. I want, you know, and if nobody else is writing new music, I will try to contribute as much as possible, which is what I did.
Isn't that, you know, part of being in a band is like everybody has ideas for new songs, yes. right? Why wouldn't you like encourage that
yeah.
as a team, as a band?
Well, I did come to a conclusion towards the end, but I'm not there yet. And then the third thing was, you know, because of everything that I've been doing, I would hope that, you know, it was taken into consideration as, you know, me taking initiative, but the response that I got was, well, nobody asked you to do that. And I'm just like, oh shit. Okay. Well, you know, and at that point, you know, I didn't react. I didn't say, you know, or, well, you know, fuck you. I didn't get into any kind of like argument or anything. I allowed myself to digest that information throughout the course of the next couple of weeks. And, you know, the conclusion that I came to was like, what the hell am I doing here then? If what I'm trying to bring to the group isn't going to be received, you know, positively, which is fine, you know, but he could have said that, you know, like you just said, maybe a year and a half ago. 2 weeks go by. We were supposed to rehearse the following week, but, and one thing I left out was that I told him, like, bro, can you step it up with your guitar playing and your vocals? Because you're sloppy out there, and I'm out there defending you. I'm out there defending you because people are saying negative things about your performances when you're live. And I think that you and I should take some vocal courses, you know, so that we can get better. This can only be a good thing.
Right. Okay.
And he didn't take it that way. In fact, he's just like, well, you make mistakes too. But I wasn't talking about making mistakes or messing up or playing a bad chord. I was talking about being off key when you're singing, when just not being in time with the click when you're playing live, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Talent.
Yeah.
And so he didn't like that. So 2 weeks go by. 2 weeks because we got COVID in the week after that, so we didn't rehearse the following week. Mm-hmm. So enough time has gone by for us to really kind of digest what had just happened in that meeting. We all agree to meet once again, and his points don't change. I'm hardly talking in the second meeting. I'm hardly saying anything. Charles is actually the one really and passionately saying, dude, like, this is what professional bands are doing. We need to begin incorporating these things so that people can begin paying attention to us. There is way too much competition out there for us not to use the tools that the big people, the big ones are using.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I'm just kind of like, at a certain point, I just stopped talking or incorporating my ideas because I think my mind is made up. And one thing that I've really stuck to is my rule. Don't argue with stupid. I've always lived by that rule. Just stop arguing with stupid unless you're trying to put on some kind of funny bit.
Yeah, for comedy's sake.
But at this point, I'm like, this isn't worth the calories burnt. So, you know, I know what's going to happen at the end of this meeting is we're no longer going to be a band. But I wasn't going to be the one to say it. Luckily, okay. he's the one who said it. I think we should all go our separate ways. Keep in mind, nobody's yelling. Nobody's heart rate is going, you know, at a million miles an hour. We're all very calm and really civil during these conversations. And keeping in mind, you know, I'm hardly saying a thing anyway.
Do you think it's because there was like that 2 week gap for you guys to simmer on this?
No. Well, that, it could have been.
That you had time to think about it and then just... Because of that, there was no real like yelling, like arguing. No, it was just more things that were.
No, said. I don't think that we would have gotten to that point anyway, because there was no point. There was no point in really kind of yelling or getting that upset. Now, there is a certain level of passion that I think we all encompassed in our arguments, because for fuck's sake, I've been in the band for 7-ish years. Charles has been in the band since 2019, which is like 4 years. And, you know, there is a level of responsibility and ownership that we all like to have in this band. But it was very clear to me that Jimmy's a pretty impressionable guy. You know? And if somebody gets in his ear and he likes how that sounds, that's going to be his mindset. And I think that, you know, the current girl that he's with now, Yoko'd it up to a certain extent. I think at the end of the day, he realized and came to the conclusion that this was no longer the Jimmy show. And he needs it to get back to a place where it then will continue to be the Jimmy show to a certain extent. Even if it means sacrificing and blowing up the band. And currently that seems to be the case where, you know, she's just by himself now. Meanwhile, Charles and I hit the ground running a week and a half later by not canceling any shows. Mm-hmm. We still went out there and did our thing. And I mean, there was a little bit more work on my end to produce the instruments that weren't present when we were playing these shows.
You needed the additional guitar parts.
We needed the additional guitar parts, the bass, and anything that was no longer there, vocals. And not only that, but we hit it hard online. I went on this website commonly used by musicians called BandMix. We found a bassist. He knows a guitarist and keyboard player. We're going to be a four-piece band come 2024. No problem. In the meantime, Charles and I are pounding the pavement, playing these shows, not canceling a thing, generating some seed money so that we can hit the ground running again in 2024, begin recording some Shoelace Express music. We already have two songs that I'm bringing with me from the Fallen Electric, the songs that didn't sound like Fallen Electric songs to begin with because they were shunned. And the one thing that I said in that last meeting was, fine, you don't think that the songs that I brought to the table were Fallen Electric songs? Let me take them then. They're my songs. You said it yourself. They're not Fallen Electric songs. Let me take them for my next project. And then that'll be that. I'm singing on them anyway.
Yeah.
And so the first single that we release will be a Shoelace Express song. And you know what? It wasn't even written for the Fallen Electric. It was written in 2008 for my old band called The Bar Show before that band broke up. A little bit different lyrics, a little bit of a different vibe. When I wrote it back then, it was more of an Americana folksy type of song.
Yeah.
But now, you know, it's more of a rock and roll song that I think will fit nicely with this new band. We also have another song that's been recorded. And I think we have a whole album's worth of music now with my music, with the new band members' music and their ideas that they have going on that they're going to share with me. I think it's going to be a very, very awesome project with brand new faces. And, you know, everybody go to shoelace.express. That's the website, www.shoelace.express. And currently that'll take you to our Instagram, but eventually it'll take you to a website with links and music videos because we're going to hit it hard come 2024 and bring all new music to you guys.
I'm just surprised that you've done so much with this new project in so little time. It was almost within like a month turnaround that you found somebody, you started booking all these shows, and you just continued.
Yeah, because I think everything that we were already working towards allowed us to hit the ground running the way we did. Everything was already built for the most part. The scaffolding was there. The skeleton was there. We just needed to, you know, put the stuff on. We rebrand it.
Yeah.
To what we were going. I mean, the live show is virtually the same. It's just now, it's just Charles and me. I'm singing 100% of the time. And hopefully, you know, these new band members will take on some vocals too. I never wanted to take over the band for the record. And I said that. What I said in the first meeting to Jimmy was, I am interested in being a more vocal presence and joining you in lead more in our original recordings. Never did I say, I want this to be my band. I want to be the sole singer of this band. And I gave him examples. Freaking The Beatles, Blink 182, Taking Back Sunday. These are all bands that use tandem vocals.
Yes.
That have more than one singer in these bands, and there's nothing wrong with that. Linkin Park did it all. You know, like these bands exist, and people love them for a reason because you have different voices coming from different corners and different perspectives of how a song should be written. Whether, and to my opinion, there's nothing wrong with that.
I feel like in you a band. Can. I feel like with those dual singer bands, you can get a lot more out of the band because certain singers have certain songs that they like to sing, and right, so you can see and hear like the different feel of the song depending on who's singing.
Yeah.
Who's singing lead,
and that was where I was coming from, and unfortunately, it wasn't received in the spirit in which I intended it. I think he saw it as he's trying to take over my band that I started way back when, and that was that, and he wanted me out. I mean, I've come to find out that there was some conversations had behind my back where the plan was just to get rid of me, but Charles is just like, if you're going to ask me to pick between the former bassist and Joe, I'm going to go with Joe. And that's exactly what happened. Charles, and I didn't ask Charles to join me, but I think he saw the work ethic that I displayed on a day-to-day basis, the passion that I have to try to move things forward. And, you know, when you look at it from the other end, you weren't going to get it from Jimmy to the degree that I was trying to, you know...
That's so, you know what, that is so frustrating to hear, because I have seen you work hard every single day. And there's been times where, like, I won't see you for a couple days because you are literally blood, sweat, and tears into music.
Mm-hmm.
And then just to hear that, like, you're really not appreciated.
It was a little heartbreaking when that was said to me. But, you know, I could have gotten mad. I could have gotten real depressed. But I'm just like, I know what I'm worth. I'm not going to let this get the best of me. And I'm going to keep this going. And Charles and I were like, all right, first things first, we need to think of a band name.
How did you guys come up with that?
Well, first, we're just like, let's think of a band that starts with the letter A so that we can be at the top of every playlist, you know? And we were coming up with a bunch of stupid shit like Altered Apes or, you know, Alien something. But you know what? You know, I think our vibe was more uplifting. We didn't want to have like this dark name and then our music is like happy sounding. So, you know, one thing that I'm just like, well, you know, we got kicked out of the band. We got to figure out transportation all over again. So that got me to think of, well, now we got to take the Shoelace Express. You know, to our shows. And, you know, the term Shoelace Express is pretty much, you know, when your car breaks down, you take the Shoelace Express to work. You got to walk.
Yeah, got
to
walk.
So we're like, all right, that's cute. People will get used to that. I think it matches the vibe of the band and the kind of music that we want to put out. So, boom, Shoelace Express it is. And here we are.
Yeah. I like it. Now I like it. At first I was like, what the fuck? Shoelace Express. But no, it grew on me really quick though. Yeah. I was like, all right, that's a pretty tight name.
Yeah. So unfortunately the website I think is taken, shoelaceexpress.com. I think it's Shoelaces Express will take you to like a shoelace company that makes like shoelaces, obviously. But if you go to shoelace.express, that's our website. So like I said earlier, it'll take you to our Instagram. Oops. But are you typing it in right now? Shoelaces Express, where you can find any lace you need.
Oh, yes.
Maybe we can partner with them and they can make us some custom shoelaces.
It's literally just a shoelace.
It's a shoelace company. Shop. Yeah.
Shoelaces Express. Oh, they couldn't even get the shoelace.
No, that's us.
Tight.
Yeah. Anyway, so there you have it. That's the story.
Wow, sounds like a wild ride.
Yeah, it has been, man. But it's been pretty cool. It's been a blessing in disguise. I'm not looking back at this as a negative thing. And at a certain point, I want to thank Jimmy for doing what he did, because I think that it is going to unlock a lot of potential that was otherwise being held back by ability, stick-to-itiveness, fucking work ethic.
Yeah, I feel like you learned a lot with the TFE.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when you first joined it, you were coming out of another band that was kind of dissipating.
And I learned a lot from them as well. And if it wasn't for the hotline, I wouldn't have been so gung-ho about being in TFE, and if I wasn't in TFE, I wouldn't have the knowledge with production, with live audio, as much as I do. That has gotten me ready to front my new band, Shoelace Express. So, I mean, stay tuned for everything. I'm not going to say big things coming, because that's such a cheesy thing to say when I have no promises to make at this point. But
like, nobody big ever says that. Big things coming.
Big things coming. Yeah, only fucking... Yeah, only local bands that have no aspirations or plans say that shit.
Well, you can tease like, oh, something new is in the works, but not...
But things have to be in the works.
Big things coming.
Big things coming. No, all right. You know, cut it out, everybody, with that shit.
I'll tell you one big silly thing that's coming.
What's that? Is this one of your famous fucking transitions here, your segues?
It's your boy.
What?
Derpy Derp.
Derpy Derp.
Godzilla.
Oh, gee. Oh, wait. I wasn't ready.
Oh.
What do you got?
Oh, we got...
Are you just going to cut me off and we're going to get right into geeking out?
We can go back.
Okay, guys. Let's go. Fine. Jerp Mishnerp, -1. That's a movie coming out when? Well, it's already out in Japan. Right?
No, there was an early release or a special release in October, and then there's one coming out again, I think next week.
Okay.
Or this week. But it officially releases, Godzilla -1 officially releases December 1st.
In the U.S.?
Yes.
Yeah, because I think
Released... It was released November 3rd in Japan.
In Japan.
But in the U.S., it's December 1st.
Awesome.
It's directed by Takashi Yamazaki, and it's almost like a reboot.
Yeah.
It still takes place after World War II in Japan.
Oh.
Okay. And so they try to, you know, kidnap Godzilla, put him down, but he doesn't want to go down. Also, I don't think they have the right technology.
Well, you think they developed that oxygen destroyer in this one, just like they did in the original?
I think they're going to leave that as it is in the first one.
Okay. Well, that's interesting, because simultaneously, Amazon Prime released the other one, the Monarch series, that is pretty freaking awesome. We already saw the first two episodes that have been released so far, and I got to say... It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. I mean, we've only seen Derpy in like a flashback when he's destroying the San Francisco Bay Bridge.
Right.
Which was in a movie, right? That was in the first Godzilla reboot American made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Shin Godzilla. No? Shin Godzilla. No.
I think it's just Godzilla. The one with Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that one. Godzilla. It's just called Godzilla.
It's just called Godzilla, yes. Right.
Yeah.
That one, it's just one episode a week on, what is it, Apple TV?
Oh, yeah, I said Amazon Prime, didn't I?
Yeah.
Apple Plus, right.
Apple TV. And Kurt Russell's in it.
And
yeah,
he is.
And his son.
His son Wyatt. Plays the younger version of Kurt Russell, which I thought was pretty clever.
We were wondering how that was going to go, but it explains it pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Monarch, Legacy of the Monsters is the full title.
And that's going to encompass everything that we've seen with Skull Island, you know, with King Kong and everything that we've seen up to the point of, I think, Godzilla versus Kong. Now, we don't know in the timeline where they're at. Like, has that already taken place or not? But everybody for sure knows who Godzilla is, because everybody in Japan has these protocols of, like, when he shows up, where to go, like the entire city.
And yeah, and that's one thing you don't really see in the old movies is, like,
the contingency plan.
How, well, like, is there a warning system? Mm-hmm. Like, on the very first episode, you can see that Japan has this weapon system. Like, they have these rockets just...
Like in the side of freeways.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's an early warning system, almost like, you know how like California has that earthquake system? Mm-hmm. Like you have a few seconds to prepare yourself. That's what they have with Godzilla. And then they have a like an underground tunnel.
Well, the subway system. Yeah. Everybody goes in there and they hide out until, you know, the all clear is given, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
To see, you know, from a human level, what happens when Derpy shows up.
Mm-hmm. And so Monarch is the top secret government, not so government.
Organization.
What is it? Organization that is trying to find out more information about these monsters or try to keep everything under wraps. So that's what this show is about.
Yeah, and there's a lot of time jumps because it takes you back to like the 50s and the 70s, and everything is connected. All the characters are connected. There's descendants of the earlier characters shown in the past, and all that. So, and there's a certain level of drama. There's a person with a podcast who drives a taxy that only comes out for like a few seconds, but you know he's coming out in a couple of episodes. You know we're going to see him a little later in the show. And if we don't, what the hell?
Why'd you mention it?
But yeah, man, directing traffic over to Apple Plus to go check that out. But I am very excited for this Minus One movie because it's made by the Japanese.
Toho.
And so we're going to see how they reboot this whole thing, assuming it's a reboot.
It's gotten 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's awesome.
The Godzilla Minus One.
Considering, you know, the ones that, you know, throughout the years, throughout the decades, are super campy.
Yeah.
You're lucky if they're even fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. But, you know, that was a Godzilla for its time. I think everybody is prepared for like a badass Godzilla that we can all sink our teeth into.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Are we going to go watch it on the release date or what?
We can, since, you know, I can't unsubscribe from my subscription to the movies.
Oh, yeah. What's going on with that? So I was able to successfully unsubscribe from the Regal, what do you call it? What is it called?
Unlimited? The Regal Unlimited.
The Regal Unlimited plan, where you can go as many times as you want to the movies.
We were super excited about this, like way back when. I think we talked about this on the pod. And we had like the 3 month pass and we were just watching movies after movies. But then after that, it's just like, well, we don't have the time to watch these movies.
Well, once you started going to school, we didn't have the time.
And so we're just like, let's just cancel it. And
so then, I canceled it. But apparently you have to like contact them through email.
Yeah.
They don't have like an easy way to cancel.
We did the same form. I did it twice and it still hasn't been canceled. And I don't know. I have to do something else. Apparently I'm not doing it right.
Yeah.
I gotta do something. Yeah. Let me speak to your manager.
Right. So.
But yeah. At least my ticket will still be free, kind of.
I guess.
I'm still paying for it.
No, that's bullshit, man.
Yeah.
You need to do something about that.
I'm gonna hit up Reddit to see what everybody else is complaining about, because apparently I'm not the only one that's having this issue with Regal Unlimited. Mm-hmm. A lot of people can't unsubscribe either, and it's taken them months.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Whatever.
Cool.
What
else you got?
We recently, well, not recently, last month, saw Auntie Donna.
We did see Auntie Donna. And we've been talking about Auntie Donna on the pod for a little bit because we discovered them when they came out on Netflix with Auntie Donna's Big Ol' House of Fun.
Yes.
And they're like a sketch show from Australia. Three guys, Mark, Broden, and Zach. And it's that stupid humor. It's like if you're familiar with like Tim and Eric from back in the day on Adult Swim, it's like that but from Australia, sort of.
Yeah.
It's just like this nonsensical kind of humor. And we recently went to go see them because they're on a tour at the Ricardo Montalban Theater in LA.
Yes.
So that was a small theater. I thought it was kind of nice.
I've never been there before.
Yeah.
Have you?
No, it was my first time there. Small space, but I think it was the size is appropriate for the fan base. You know, they're not huge or anything like that. But everybody in there was excited to see Auntie Donna, and they put on a pretty good show.
I liked it. I didn't know what to expect. Like, are they going to sing their songs? Are they going to give us new material? But I like their interaction with the crowds. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of improv in that. And then they were making fun of some guy who brought their kid. And they're just like, oh, because some of their stuff was like not child 18 appropriate. And up.
Yeah. They kept looking at the kid like, fuck, who brings a kid? The kid was like, what, 14 or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. So if you guys want to know more or less what we're talking about, make your way over to Netflix and check out Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun. Auntie, like your aunt.
Yes.
Like Auntie Donna, your Auntie Donna. I don't know why they call themselves that. I'm sure there's a story behind that, but
they also have their own podcast.
They do.
Yeah, the Auntie Donna podcast. Mm-hmm. I love sketch comedy. They're one of my favorites.
Yeah, and another stupid-ass sketch comedy that I understand is working on another season is the I Think You Should Leave.
Yes.
I think that's going to be coming back soon. So, yeah, good shit.
I wonder if they're going on tour. Does he do that on tour?
I don't think so.
Oh, no. Man.
He's just busy writing and putting it on the telly.
That would be something.
Yeah. What else have we done in the last couple months? Oh, we went to When We Were Young Fest. We kind of touched on it last week with Anthony.
Well, yeah, we did. It was hard figuring out which line to go through. I think that was my biggest gripe because
to get in to the
yeah to because the event? Like there was like five of us in line, and we were just trying to direct the line. Like, me and this other girl was like, oh, the GA is over there, and the GA plus is this line. And then come to find out, like, we weren't even in the GA plus line. It was fucking dumb.
Yeah. So, since our last episode, the tickets to When We Were Young Fest 2024 have gone on sale. I have purchased our tickets for the 2024 show, and I'm just like, fuck it, I'm getting VIP. I don't want to deal with lines.
Oh, my God, yes.
I don't want to deal with anything. And you know what? I like what they're doing next year with all the bands that are going to be there playing an album, like a full-on album that obviously would be one of the more popular albums that they've ever put out. I wish Thrice was there because, you know, I missed them in 2022 because, you know, the winds didn't allow the show to go on. But, I'll take it. A lot of good bands are still going to be there. Thursday, MyChem.
I am excited for her. Coheed and Cambria, which is one of my favorite bands. I've seen them so many times.
Coheed's going to be there, yeah.
Love it.
And we're going to have access to see him at the side of the stage.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't know if we talked about this. Probably not. But there's a new band called LS Dunes.
Yeah.
And that has members from Seosin, My Chemical Romance, Coheed and Cambria, which all of those bands are going to be there. And so LS Dunes is going to be playing their album.
That's
so
dope.
Anthony Green is fronting it.
Sick.
Hell yeah.
Circus Survives there? No, huh?
Seosin. So Seosin's going to play their album.
Sick. Good.
Anthony Green. Hell yeah.
Yeah. This will be the third time I see Anthony Green live, I think. So that's cool. I like his live shows.
Yeah. I've seen him a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty wild.
Mm-hmm.
Like it.
Cool. What else did we... We went to Punk in the Park.
We did. We saw your friend's band.
Yeah.
Rundown Creeps.
Rundown Creeps. And Fishing for Chips was also in one of the side stages, but we had to miss them because we were watching Rundown Creeps that were going on at the same time. The Fallen Electric, a few years back before COVID... we played with them. Where was it? It was at Canyon Inn, I believe.
Oh.
And we also played with them down in Oceanside at some point where they played. And so can't say that I know them well, but you know, the fact that they were there was pretty cool. I'm very proud of our boys in Rundown Creeps. They've come a long way.
Mm-hmm.
I've known them since I was in the Hotline. In fact, that's how I got that's how I met them when I was in the Hotline. And super cool guys. They're like this ska punk band from East LA. They've been on the podcast before a couple of times. And super cool to see him on a big stage like that, you know, opening up for a bunch of awesome bands like Who did we go see that day? The Descendants.
The Descendants closed it out. Yeah. Goldfinger. Goldfinger was there.
The Queers.
I really wanted to see the Buzzcocks.
Yeah.
And they put on a good show. Mm-hmm. They did. Casualties were there.
Casualties, yeah, yeah. So a bunch of like legendary punk bands tend to show up at this festival once a year that they have in Orange County. We went to day two because day one I was playing a show, but day one Pennywise closed that one out.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been cool to be there, but I know some people who went and they said it was amazing, so I'll just live vicariously through them and their phone videos that they took. So it looked like looked like an awesome time. And yeah, man. So I think I chronicled this in a video I just posted recently on the Instagram, Fubar Show Instagram. Yes, so yes. You'll see there. I think we met up with your friend, your coworker there, Laura Marr.
Oh yeah,
and her boy toy.
I thought for sure she was going to do some crowd surfing. There was a lot of people crowd surfing for the Descendants. It was just like almost like an assembly line of just people just like moving overhead.
Yeah.
But she didn't. And
she got in the pit.
She did. Yeah, she got in the pit. Oh my God, it was so fun. And we were just kind of like really pacing ourselves this time. I felt like last year when we went to Punk in the Park, we just like really hammered all the drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took a nap underneath the tree. But
we were drunk.
Yeah, but we didn't do that. We were just kind of pacing ourselves this time at least. Yeah.
And those are the shows that we've seen. Those have been the couple highlights when it comes to like a music festival perspective. But when it comes to more geeky shit, dude, I know we just went over Derpy, the Minus One, and the Monarch show. And we just got through Loki. Since we were already talking about Apple Plus, I want to direct people to go watch, if you haven't already started, go ahead and start watching that space show.
For All Mankind.
For All Mankind that I think they're in season, what, four now?
Season four, yes.
It's about, I've talked about it on the pod before, it's about like what would happen if the Russians beat us to the moon first and how would the course of history change? And this show is pretty much saying that humanity would be better off.
It seems like it.
Because that would light a fire under, you know, NASA and the Americans to come up with technology quicker and things like that. Of course, you know, there's still a Cold War. There is still like conflict happening in space on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
People die.
Yeah.
Mistakes are made. But you know, the Cold War ends a little sooner. The countries are actually working together a little bit better.
I think there's more collaboration with space.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, the technology has gotten a lot better quicker because like every season is a different decade pretty much.
So right now they're in the 2000s now?
Yes. Yeah. They are like early 2000s.
Al Gore actually became president. Bill Clinton and Hillary, they get a divorce like in the 90s.
Yeah. This happens all in the first episode.
Yeah. This new season.
But that's kind of like the background stuff. So you know where you are in the decade.
In history.
In history. Yeah. Yeah.
And but, you know, there's drama, of course. It's like a sci-fi drama kind of show. But the acting is fantastic. The writing is great. So if you need something new to watch, you know, because there's no shortage of things you can watch out there. But if you're trying to watch something that's of quality and you happen to have Apple Plus, go check that out. I know a lot of people that just got Apple Plus for the Godzilla thing.
Mm-hmm.
So since you already got that, go check out that other stuff.
Do it.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Loki.
Loki.
We just finished Loki.
I would say I would make the argument confidently that Loki has been the best Disney Plus Marvel show put out to date. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Because look, we've got WandaVision.
Yes.
Let's try to list them. We got WandaVision. We got What If. We got Moon Knight. We've got Ms. Marvel. She-Hulk. Am I missing something? Oh, the Secret Invasion. That one was whatever. And I think that covers it. Loki blows them all out of the water. Has been the best one.
Yes. They explained the time very well. Like the time variance, whatever.
Yeah, the dimensions, the timelines, everything gets wrapped up. And as a result of all of this, it allows the MCU to pivot from using Jonathan Majors in anything else moving forward. I think they've put that to bed now. Like the whole Kang thing, because we were supposed to get the Kang Dynasty.
Yeah, but they just kind of don't want to do anything with that drama.
They don't want to deal with him anymore and his legal issues. Of, you know, beating women and shit.
So. So that's just a whole thing that you can dive into.
Even if he was acquitted or, you know, he at least from a legal perspective, he's not getting charged with anything anymore. I think the drama around it and the negative press, they don't want to be around that anymore.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah, because, you know, not only is this for, you know, adults, but it's also for kids too. So I think they want to just kind of stray away from that because kids have the internet now and they don't want to probably showcase anything like that.
And I think, you know, in the near future, I think Marvel is preparing for a soft reboot with all these, with the multiverse and everything, with putting a different face to a new an old superhero.
Well, now that, you know, they're talking about Fantastic Four. Really,
and X-Men and everything. And,
yeah, like so I hope they do a Doctor Doom thing.
There's fan theories out there saying that Deadpool will help with that soft reboot.
Yeah.
And it's obviously going to introduce X-Men because we already know Wolverine's going to be in there.
Hell yeah. Yeah, because he's already, like, Hugh Jackman is, like, posting videos of him working out for his Wolverine role.
Yeah, and there's going to be variants. That's what we understand, too. There's going to be variants of Wolverine, so there's going to be other actors that he might use this movie to hand off to. A lot of people are not hating the idea of Daniel Radcliffe as the next Wolverine.
Oh, we've been saying that for years.
I don't know. I don't hate it.
I would like that.
I don't hate it.
I would
all.
Like that.
I wouldn't hate the idea of Wolverine actually being played by a Canadian, but that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know any Canadians, period. No, I don't know any Canadian actors that would be able to do it. I mean, Daniel Radcliffe has the body type. He's not a tall fellow. He's pretty ripped right now.
Oh, yeah.
Probably because he's being tapped to play the next Wolverine.
I think he's just been working out.
Maybe.
There's a lot of...
But there's speculation.
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm excited to see how Deadpool goes about introducing itself in the MCU. This would be the first movie, because before it was completely owned by Fox, the Deadpool movies, in association with Marvel, but it wasn't in the MCU. But now it's going to insert himself in there and...
They'll link it somehow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's always breaking the fourth wall, as it is.
Yes.
So, you know, with the multiverse now flourishing the way it has been.
Dang. You know what would be really cool? Is if they did a Mr. Sinister. You remember Mr. Sinister from X-Men?
Yeah.
Oh, that guy was such a dick.
Yeah.
And he was really hard to defeat.
Mm-hmm. Galactus has been cast, too. And I think that's going to be the big bad for the Fantastic Four movie.
With Silver Surfer.
Really?
You think so?
I don't know.
Because Silver Surfer is...
He's an anti-hero.
It's Galactus, and then he sends Silver Surfer down to, like, I think Investigator, like, destroy some shit.
Make my monster grow! And then he comes down.
From a trash can. Yes. Anyway... Side note, Mobius.
Oh, back to Loki?
Back to Loki. That name sounded so familiar, and I had to look it up. But Mobius is actually a Mobius strip, and it's a mathematical loop where the ends of a strip of paper are attached together, but there's a half twist in there.
Uh-huh.
And then I feel like you see this Mobius strip in, what is it? When Tony Stark discovers how to jump through time. Jarvis actually creates this loop when you're looking at it right before the Avengers jump.
Yeah.
I think in the Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
You actually see this loop, and it's called a Mobius strip, and it was like a very difficult mathematical equation to figure out. Like, math didn't know the answer to this, how it was created or whatever, until recently.
I see.
But I thought that was a neat little Easter egg in Loki.
Yeah, and you know, after every Loki episode, I know that we go straight to YouTube and check out what the new rock stars and what the Nerdist guys are saying.
Yeah.
And this is one thing they didn't point out.
Yeah.
You know, from all the Easter eggs that they've pointed out, and go check them out, man. I've been watching more of the new rock stars. I know that you like the Nerdist ones.
You know what? He's just, you know, in the new Rockstars videos, he's talking so fast.
Eric Voss just doesn't take a breath.
I get that he's trying to explain it to you in the least amount of time, but this video's already long enough.
It's a lightning round.
Just take a breath and just say it.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I like the, you know, I wanted to say brevity, but some of these videos are like a half hour long explaining an entire episode of Loki. Like the explanation episode is just as long as the episode itself almost in some instances. But I like everything to point out that you just don't see when you're watching it, when you're just watching it to enjoy it.
I think we really started. I think we really started doing this with WandaVision, because WandaVision was the first series that we were just like, that I was so excited for, because I'm just like, this fucking Mephisto's
coming out.
Here's this and this. Like, I knew everything like that was on screen because I knew from X-Men.
Yeah.
What she was all about. And I was like, oh shit, that there. And then, you know, with all these other series, I'm just like, oh, my knowledge is not that great. So we started watching all of these videos, and goddamn, there's a lot of information out there. You're talking about,
and still no Mephisto.
Exactly. But imagine that's the one that we're waiting for.
Right.
It's not going to be Dr. Doom. It's not going to be Galactus. Kang's out the window. It's going to be Mephisto this entire time.
He's going to be the big bad.
Yeah. Just when we stop thinking about him, Mephisto.
And he's pretty much just Marvel's Satan, right?
Yeah.
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 Interesting.
We all thought it was going to happen.
Nope.
And it didn't happen.
No. No, I mean, it's been confirmed. It's going to be Doctor Doom is going to be the next big bad, and everything that comes along with the Fantastic Four timelines with Galactus. Well, I know that the X-Men also fight him too.
Oh yeah. It's like the whole universe gets involved.
Yeah. I mean, the guy's the size of the planet.
Planet Destroyer.
And then Silver Surfers can't be too far behind. So when you combine those three, that's enough content to keep the MCU busy for a while. And if they want to do a soft reboot, they can go back all the way to the beginning. And, you know how like when you introduced Iron Man, when the MCU first started out with the Hulk and Iron Man and everything like that. Yeah. If they came out in a universe or in a world where the X-Men were also a thing, that would have just launched, like, you could have just taken it from the pages of the comic books and made movies out of them. But because, you know, Sony owned this guy, Fox owned this guy, Universal owned these guys, mm-hmm. it was a little messy and segmented. And now that everything's kind of been centralized, or at least partnerships have been made with Sony, strong partnerships are now established where, you know, they'll lend these characters out for the greater good of the storylines. The new generation of kids watching these MCU movies, I think, will appreciate them, hopefully, the way we did. But we made do mm-hmm. with what we got.
Yeah. And you know what? We've been enjoying it so far.
Yeah.
Except for the Secret Invasion, because that show was
boring. Did not like that show.
Oh my god, I fell asleep every episode. It was just so boring.
I just thought it was okay. I didn't hate it to the degree that you did.
I know, I don't hate it. It's just boring. It's just boring.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of information in there. That's all I'm going to say about it. That's it.
What's coming out of DC? They've been awfully quiet over there. Huh.
They're working on another Pattinson movie. We all know that.
Yeah, we knew that. Who's the bad guy in that one? They haven't said anything about it, huh? Joker? Or is that too soon?
No.
We're
going to get the Joker, Lady Gaga.
Well, that's a Elseworld thing, and that's a musical, is what I'm hearing.
Is the whole thing a musical?
I guess.
I don't know what's going on.
I think
on.
The whole thing is going to be a fever dream about him meeting Harley, and they're going to be singing everything. The Foo's going to love this one.
Oh, yeah, Foo. We're going to get your ticket right now.
And the Penguin is going to have its own show from the Pattinson world.
You know what? I'm actually looking forward to that.
Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell's a really good Penguin.
He could have just gotten another fat guy, but no, they had to get Colin Farrell and ugly him up, but whatever.
You know what? I didn't think he was a bad Penguin.
I didn't think
though.
So either.
Yeah,
I just thought it was unnecessary.
I like him as Penguin.
All right.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on.
And we had Blue Beetle. That just came out on Max.
Yeah, that you also came out in the summer.
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right.
Well, we heard from our buddy, Doug.
Oh, yeah, Doug. Doug Brody. He's the author of the trilogy. The Ship's Revenge and
Children of the Ship.
Children of the Ship. And we're going to see him at the LA Comic Con, which we planned on going this year again.
Yep. It's coming up.
Got the tickets.
In less than 2 weeks.
Fuck. It's all happening so fast.
I know.
And so he already confirmed that he's going to be there. So we're going to go say hi. And his daughter is the one that is on the cover of the new book.
Yeah. And so, I'm preparing my alien questions for her. See if she wants to be interviewed by us.
Yeah.
And the audiobook for Children of the Ship
is coming out real soon.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you're not a word reader, as I like to call myself, you can listen to the audiobook.
A word reader? You don't read words?
I would prefer not to. It's not that I don't like reading. I just fall asleep every time I try.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. It could be positioning, just the lighting, time of day.
I don't know. I'm not a fan of reading books. As Kevin and Bean used to say, reading is for losers.
Because they're in the radio business. They want you to listen to everything.
Well, it worked because that's who I am.
Well, I'm glad there's...
I would prefer to listen to rather than reading. That's my vibe.
Yeah. You know what? I'm hoping that there's a box set or trilogy set out there for Children of the Ship. I mean, or for the Ship trilogy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to do all my Christmas shopping as per usual at LA Comic Con.
Oh, yeah. That's where you do all your Christmas shopping, huh?
Yeah.
So, there you go.
So, somebody's going to get something.
So, what else have we missed, Steph? Anything else that we've not talked about since that long-ass hiatus that we took for, was 2 months that we didn't do a podcast for? A month and a half?
We did one in September for Batman Day, and we skipped all of October.
Right.
And then, yeah, we came back this month. So almost exactly 2 months.
Yeah. And then Anthony came back. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man, it's been an interesting last couple of months. That's pretty much our recap. And next week, we plan on doing one next week too, right? I mean, Thanksgiving would have taken place.
We have time to do it.
Yeah, let's see. Hopefully by then we would have watched the Marvels, which is getting shat on by all the incels out there who don't like the lady actresses. That's redundant.
I don't know why. It's just a superhero movie. Just relax, dude.
It's getting okay reviews, audience scores. I think it's in the 80s, in the mid to high 80s right now. And even then, the critics are giving it a fresh rating.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad movie. Just people are really hating on it right now. Or it was released at a time where people aren't interested in going to the movies right now. I mean, it came out pretty close to Thanksgiving.
No, but there's other movies that people have been watching.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
Hmm. Like Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Eli Roth is finally releasing the movie that he teased during the Grindhouse release all those years ago with one of those bumper reel, like those fake movie trailers that came out in the Grindhouse movie, where it was Thanksgiving, where it was like a horror movie, also like a B-movie type of Grindhouse style. So that's coming out, or it came out already. Did it come out already?
Yes, it came. Well, let me look it up real quick.
White meat, dark meat, all will be carved.
Thanksgiving movie 2023.
You'll be coming home to the holidays in a body bag.
Release date. Release date. When? Release date.
Release date. What is it? What do we got? The 17th? Yeah.
Where does it say?
Release.
It's already out. It's already out.
On the 17th. It came out on Friday. All right. Yeah.
You know what? I want to watch this Thanksgiving. Yes. But we also need to rewatch Thanksgiving.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
No, we
don't. We'll put it on Thursday.
Where can we even find that movie? I know that the first time we saw it was on Netflix, but I can't imagine that they still have it on Netflix. And there's a part 2 and 3, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
It's about a puppet. It's about a puppet turkey that begins killing people. And the first scene, the cold open of the first movie, it's just a pilgrim lady with her tits out.
For no reason.
She's just running with her tits out.
She trips over a branch.
And then he says, "Nice tits, bitch." And then he stabs her to death.
There is no reason to this movie. Thanksgiving movie.
Came out in 2008. Anyway, yeah, if you want to watch something stupid and gory, go watch Thanksgiving. Another movie is out, though, is going to be coming out, and it's escaping me. Well, I guess it's not that important.
What movie?
You know, speaking of horror movies, what's that movie that we just saw here when April came over? Five Nights at Freddy's?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Five Nights at Freddy's. Because of that, at least from what the articles are saying, and I got to play this. For everybody who's enjoyed an outing to the fine establishment owned and operated by Mr. Charles Entertainment Cheese, the band that plays at your local Chuck E. Cheese will no longer be playing at your local Chuck E. Cheese. In fact, the only Chuck E. Cheese that will have the band playing with those creepy animatronic characters will be the one in Northridge. It's been speculated and I think confirmed that one of the reasons why, and it's only one of the reasons why, that they've removed these animatronic characters playing cover bands and even original music, is because of the Five Nights at Freddy's movie that came out that is pretty much depicting animatronic people or characters in a, you know, children's establishment taking it over, haunting it and killing people that attend this place. Another reason too is because they want to upgrade it. That's really what they're saying, is like, we want to upgrade it so that it becomes like more of a dance party, where it becomes an environment where both adults and children could get to play. So I think they want to turn it into a kid-friendly Dave and Buster's.
You know what? There was an episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia where they did this exact same thing.
Yep. And they were beside themselves.
It was like, what the hell? And they changed everything.
Yeah.
They went in an era where nothing was safe. Things were falling off the walls. And then, you know, they realized that everything was nice and safe and everything's nice and boring now. So this is exactly what's happening to our Chuck E. Cheese in real life.
Munch's make-believe band has been ended. And it only really has the residency in Northridge. So at least if you want to go check out the nostalgia that is this Munch's make-believe band, you can go check them out at the Northridge Chuck E. Cheese.
Why did they pick Northridge out of all locations?
I don't know. But, well, who cares, really? But at the end of an era, if you ask me. I mean, I haven't gone to a Chuck E. Cheese in years, since I was like in high school.
Do you? Oh, Well, I wonder when they're going to start removing them.
I think they have, or I don't know. You think they haven't started yet?
Let me see. When are they removing Chuck E. Cheese Band?
Googling with Steph. Oh, they're also citing COVID as one of the reasons why they didn't see a need to have these animatronic characters anymore. I don't see how that makes any sense. Well, they got hit hard during COVID, I guess. That's why.
Well, yeah, a lot of businesses do.
Yeah. Dude, that old Chuck E. Cheese was fucking weird.
Yeah.
It's creepy, man.
It's creepy, dude.
Things that nightmares are made of.
Oh, it's officially retired now.
Okay, Munch's Make-Believe Band.
Well, only a poor... Oh, man.
It's over.
I was hoping that we can just do it.
Is that a commercial?
Yeah.
From 1990?
Okay, hold on.
All right, hopefully it's not so loud.
Ladies and gentlemen, we proudly present an exciting new musical review with your merrymaking master of ceremonies, Chuck E. Cheese.
That's me, Chuck E. Cheese, your host with the most. But even with this star behind me, I'm not the star of the show. You are, because the magic only happens when we all get together.
We can feel the magic. Oh, yeah. Look at all these kids having fun in the playpen.
Yeah, that is the 1990s. It's a whole song, huh?
Yeah.
2 minutes.
We're halfway there.
Put your hands together.
Purple guy.
Jasper Jones is jamming with ease.
Dang, he's shredding.
There's Pasquale drumming away.
Pasquale?
And with Helen's vocalizing, there's no disguising.
Chuck E. Cheese is giving you a party today.
I always liked her voice.
We've got it together.
Things couldn't be better.
Together we got it. Munch's Make-Believe Band and you. We got it. Together we got it. We got it together with you.
That's right.
We got it together forever.
It's great to be together. It's really quite a pleasure.
Only together.
I think we got it.
Wow.
That is very something. Very dated.
Man, what was more creepy, the fact that the mouths didn't necessarily match what was being said, the eyelids, the overall aesthetic of these characters? I mean, look at those beady eyes coming from Chuck.
You know, I never thought it was creepy.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Like, I knew it was animatronic.
I know, but like, a dumb kid would get free. A lot of kids started to cry. You know, there was nary a dry eye in a Chuck E. Cheese when I would attend as a child. There was always some kid who got creeped out and would begin screaming.
Yeah, there's always one. But I mean,
like a villain origin story happening right there before our.
Well, that's why you got to distract him with the games and the pizza, because not everybody's going to like the music, because not only that, but they never updated the songs, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in the 2000s, they started writing songs.
Really?
Yeah, because they were just playing cover songs in their style for forever, and then they started writing songs for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? This would be a good opportunity for Shoelace Express to start auditioning.
For fuck's sake. No.
No. You don't want to have a residency at Chuck E. Cheese every Tuesday?
Yeah, I wouldn't hate that, actually. They do serve beer, and their pizza's pretty good. Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll put that in the maybe pile. Oh, now that we're on this window here, before we get into this, Steph, I know I've already played Taps once, but there's something else that we need to discuss. This week, I don't know if you saw this, but Snoop Dogg announced that he's no longer going to be smoking, or at least he's no longer going to be doing smoke.
Okay.
And he was really serious about it. He put it out there and asked everybody to respect his privacy. Because, I mean, it is a shock, because he has made it his entire personality for decades. That he, I mean, when you're around Snoop Dogg, there's no way you're not getting high, even from a contact high.
Yeah, he shares it with everybody.
Yeah. And something tells me that there's something he's not telling us. Like, there's a serious health issue.
Maybe.
That his doctor told him about, that he just needs to stop. And let's see. Scroll down there, Steph. It was, oh, man. He's.
Oh, I had to log in.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
But yeah, one of the more recent posts has been him just saying, you know, I'm not due to personal reasons. Him and his family, he's discussed it with his family, and he's decided to quit the smoke. And something tells me he's not going to leave marijuana completely. This tells me that he might just still be doing edibles, but at least from a smoke blunt perspective, that's going to be coming to an end. And something tells me there's a health issue behind all of this that I think the masses would be sad to learn about.
We could be. We just never know at this point, but I mean,
hopefully
it's
he's okay.
You know, it's his choice. I hope everything's okay. And, you know, continues to hopefully entertain if he doesn't want to step away.
Yeah.
But yeah. Good for him. Trying something different.
Yeah, man. And, I guess we can end on this, right? Because this Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, I got us tickets to, go check out Jam and the Band Comedy out in LA. Now, for those who aren't familiar with Jam the Van, this is a Pauly Shore production. It's been going on for years. Pauly Shore, for those who didn't know, he's also the heir to the Comedy Store. Mm-hmm. Mitzi Shore was the founder and I guess custodian of everything that goes into the Comedy Store. She passed away a few years back, and Pauly Shore began running it from there. As an aside to the Comedy Store, he created Jam in the Van, where he had like comedians and bands play in this small space that he built a podcast around, and now has grown it to be like a showcase. So we're going to go check him out on November 22nd. It's going to be Frankie Quinones, which is in that show, This Foo, on Hulu. Foo. Funny dude. You've probably seen him in like TikTok, Instagram. He also did the Cholo Fitness.
Oh yeah.
videos. Steph Tolev, she's hilarious and very crass and gross. She's hilarious.
Love her. She is one of my favorite comedians.
Trevor Wallace, there's no way that there won't be a shit ton of yelling, because that's his comedian style. Just let me just say things loudly and make you all laugh. And my boy, or your boy, Whiskey Ginger, the one and only Andrew Santino, one of my favorite comedians, one of my favorite personalities out there. He currently is on that show with Lil Dicky.
Dave.
Dave. he plays his manager. Really funny guy. He has his podcast, Whiskey Ginger, that I listen to regularly. He's also on a podcast with Bobby Lee called Bad Friends. Mm-hmm. And hilarious. Hilarious dude. Andrew Santino, he just put out a special called Hamburger. If you haven't seen it, go check that out. Trevor Wallace just put out Pterodactyl on Amazon Prime. Yeah. Steph Tolev can recently be seen on Bill Burr's movie that just came out, Old Dads. And we just mentioned Frankie Quinones on This Foo. So, I mean, these are people that we follow regularly. I was super excited to see that they were on a lineup. And I'm super excited to go see them.
I know. When you sent me this, I was just like, immediately, get tickets.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah, and it's open bar. We're going to catch the 9:30 showing, and it's an open bar. Like, the tickets were like $50 each, but it has an open bar. But something tells me, you know, the open bar concept, you're at the mercy of the amount of times that the waiters come through.
We've had this happen to us before.
We did an unlimited champagne for New Year's for a Kevin Smith, Ralph Garman,
Hollywood Babylon
for a New Year's.
Right.
We went there to ring in the new year with them, and it was unlimited champagne, but we were at the mercy of the waiters coming through with their champagne.
Mm-hmm.
Then at some point, one of the waiters just like tired of us waving them down and just left us an entire thing of champagne for us to pour ourselves.
I think so.
Because they were just done walking around.
I think they had started doing that to like every table.
Oh, okay. It wasn't just us. Because we were demanding quite a bit of champagne on our end.
Yeah, but...
It was unlimited.
So was everybody else.
Yeah. They knew.
You should just like, look, it's New Year's Eve. Unlimited drinks, right? You should just already have a bottle at each table.
Mm-hmm.
That's like four glasses.
Yeah.
So that's like two each, right? If you have a party of two,
mm-hmm.
just save yourself the time. Just give us the bottle.
Just give us the bottle. Just hand out the bottle per person.
I mean, come on. Come on.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how they handle that here. I'm excited just for the fact that I'm going to try to avoid driving, and you too. I'm going to try to avoid any of us driving, probably take an Uber out there and just enjoy Los Angeles. Maybe take the Shoelace Express from a certain point.
We can. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we can see what our options are. I don't want to drive. I mean, it's going to be crazy enough.
Yeah, it's the night, day before Thanksgiving.
Everybody's traveling.
Yeah, so I don't want to have to deal with it. So, yeah, man, that's really what we've been up to. This has been like the recap episode. And then next week we can get back to all the bullshittery.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, we got a couple more episodes for you before we go on hiatus.
Again? For the holidays?
Isn't that what we usually do?
Well, I mean, I would argue that the hiatus already happened, and maybe we can give them a few episodes in between Thanksgiving and the New Year regularly, unless you got school that's going to interfere with it.
I mean, I do.
Okay, then.
So, like, after we do Comic-Con, I won't be available for, like, a week.
Oh, okay. So, there's going to be some holes.
It's really just one. Schedule. It's really just 1 week, though.
Okay.
Yeah, we can still do it.
Sweet. Right on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that was all just geeking out, but no music today. I know we said we were gonna, and we talked about it.
We did.
I mean, we talked about the music that we're anticipating when we were young for next year. I mean, I could play some tracks, but then YouTube would take us down. So we're not going to do anything like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, go check out all the stuff that we're into.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much what this podcast is.
You're excited because we're excited.
Yeah. 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 And are we done? Is that it?
I think
pretty anticlimactic.
You know what? I think we're...
Marijuana's bad.
I think we're okay.
Okay, cool. Oh, yeah. Rick and Morty. We can cover that next week. Because this last episode that we saw was pretty good. I mean, the canon ones where they bring in Evil Morty and mm-hmm, Rick Prime. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really let them have it. We can go into more depth next week on that storyline.
We got a whole bunch of stuff we got to talk about.
Yeah. So I guess big things coming. Am I right? Am I right? Sorry to you know, bum everybody out with the intro to this podcast here with, you know, me no longer being in TFE, but I'm optimistic. These new bandmates I've got that Charles and I have befriended, it's looking up. Good times ahead for Shoelace Express, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are putting a lot of work into it, so
you
should see some results.
Yeah, man. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it. Are we good?
We're good.
All right. Well, thank you all so very much for listening into the FooBar Show, and a special thanks to you foos who subscribe, rate, review, and share the pod with your fellow foos. Remember to follow, like, and comment on our Instagram at FooBar Show. That's FOOBar Show. And we'll foo it up like a couple of foos. been Josie.
And I'm Steph.
Signing off saying, don't be a dick!
Fuck, man. Thank you, guys.
Sorry, I missed lunch. I was at the library and I forgot to look at the clock.
You think I'm an idiot?
Huh?
Do you think I don't know where you've been?
What do you mean?
You think I wouldn't recognize the signs? Clean fingernails, good posture, cookie crumbs in your pockets. You're never hungry at dinner time. You're seeing another mom.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't lie to me!
It's not what you think.
Who is she?
Why does that matter?
Who is she?
Mrs. Finnegan. It doesn't mean anything. A couple weeks ago, I stopped by her house and she had her iron out. She was just so nice. And there was cake!
That'll be a long time before you get any cake around here.
I wasn't expecting any.
After everything I've sacrificed for you, all I've done, you come waltzing in here day after day reeking of her fabric softener!
Yes! I like fabric softener. Mrs. Finnegan doesn't mind taking a little time to stop the rinse cycle. And maybe it's nice to have someone who's got more to say to me than just clean your room, comb your hair,
Do you love her?
Of course not. It's just snacks.
Oh, you like her snacks. You like filling up on her cookies. You know they're store-bought.
That's beneath you, Mom.